You know, it's great when we can get together to look at God's Word. And I'd encourage you to read God's Word yourself. The Word of God washes us. It cleanses us. It feeds us. It really renews our mind so that we would continue to see Jesus clearly. Well, parking spaces this time of the year can be pretty scarce in large shopping areas or malls, whether they have a parking lot like that or a multi-level garage. It can be especially troubling when you forget where you parked. You come out where you thought you was the correct entrance only to realize something just doesn't look quite right. And your car is nowhere in sight. No, this never happened to anybody, right? Okay. I heard some frazzled mall shoppers reporting that their car was stolen only for it to be found on the other side of the parking lot. You know, as we say around here, they forgot where they parked the car, right? Wouldn't it be great if it didn't matter what car you took home? Hey, that Corvette looks like fun, and besides, my wife will love it, right? In the real world, that's grand larceny. So you just don't need to try to take that car home. And hopefully a Corvette's just not sitting there with the keys or the vehicle on, right? But it would be kind of fun. Here's the point, and we'll show you back to this parking lot. The point is, you know what make and model is yours. Doesn't matter if somebody else has a car like yours. Typically, you know, if you know your plate and your tag, you know it's yours, right? Sometimes you ever get into the wrong car? It's like, oh, that's not my car. Just doesn't feel right. Either the handle didn't feel quite right, but, and again, that's not the Corvette. That's just a car that looks like yours. You know, I saw Aaron getting sort of mentally messed with on Friday night. We stopped at Stop and Shop, and we pulled up to a car that looked just like Amanda's. And he's given the car the look. Like, where's Amanda? I'm like, oh, buddy, it's a car that looks just like hers. You know, we know what belongs to us. You know, if you ever go to a dealership and you see a wall of keys, you know what your key looks like, right? They don't. If they just hand you the wrong set of keys, you're like, it's not my key, you know? We're quick to understand things like this. This just makes perfect sense. I mean, I asked my son Aaron, what does that toy look like? And he describes it in full color. We're not even in the room. And he goes to get the toy, and it's exactly the way he described it, because we become familiar with what we know. And here's the point. You need to know as a Christian what belongs to you. Enough wasting time not knowing what belongs to you in Christ. This is so important. This takes the Christian who is weak and perhaps struggling to really say, that's mine. And I'm wrapping my arms around that. And I'm claiming that as my own. Because that's what Jesus did. He's a gift giver. And when Christ gives gifts, those gifts are there to stay. Now, can they become dim? And maybe we're not using them as he intended? Absolutely. But we through the Word of God, can once again learn how to appropriate the gifts that he's given to us. Do you realize when you placed faith in Christ, what became yours? Is this just still a big old mystery to you? Some people stay in this spot where I think I'm saved. And I'm so thankful for that. Do you know you're saved? And do you know what is yours because you're saved? This is sweet. This is so sweet. And as I pointed out last week, the one thing that God asks us to do is to believe him. That's the one thing he asks us to do. He asks us to believe him. This is faith. Believe him for what? Making you happy and keeping you healthy? Good things, but that's not it. That might happen. That's fleeting. Look at what happened in California. I just prayed. Okay? People's houses just get devoured by fire. Okay? There are real issues on this planet. Jesus knows that. But he's more concerned about you and that you're ready to be with him, because in the heart of God is a loving heart. And he didn't make trash. He wants to redeem those who are fallen from grace, those who've fallen, in one sense, fallen into sin, who are born into sin. He wants you to believe what he says about his son, Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is verifiable proof that God loves sinners. And guess what? He is now fully reconciled to sinners through Christ's death on the cross and the Lord Jesus Christ's bodily resurrection. God did, if you would say it this way, he did what he could do. He offered Jesus. What do we need to do? Respond in faith and believe that he did that for us. But that's not the end of the story. This opens up tremendous usefulness for your life. Tremendous possibilities that God would want to use your life for his glory. And not for you just to be one of those Christians that doesn't develop. God wants you to know these things. He's given us a written word that we would know these things. We would know how to walk in this wonderful grace that he's given to us. And faith is the way that we come. Believing him, trusting him, as if you would, if that's the only thing you do is to believe the gospel, God says, you're righteous. That's the sweetest thing about the message that we share. And there are things that we do to develop our faith and our knowledge and our understanding. Absolutely, there's plenty more that we can do beyond salvation that God can use us. And just look at the pages of Scripture of people, weak people, hurting people, people who had a messy life that God used. And we pointed out in chapter 11 last week, that if you look at that list, that catalog of the heroes of the faith, some of those people had pretty messy lives. But guess what God saw? He saw their faith. So your messiness and my messiness is no excuse for not believing God. And sometimes people let that become a hurdle. You need to come to Jesus. You need to come. And I know many of you have, and some of this may be repetitive, but some people need to be reminded of these truths. I never get tired of hearing this amazing gospel story, and I never get tired of telling it, as you can see. So really, how do you know you're reconciled to God? What's the key here? You believed him. And God knows that you believed him. That is so vitally important. Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life. One look at Jesus is sufficient. You want to keep looking, though. You want to keep looking to him, because in him is the light of life. In him is all things. In him belongs everything that you and I need, all that we crave, all that we hope for, all that this human achy heart longs for. It's met in him. And him is a person. And he's resurrected. And he did exactly what he said he would do. And he also left us with comfort. And these are some of the things I want to talk about today. The book of Romans, where we are heading today, will help you blossom in your faith. As Martin Luther referred to this as his wife, there is so much in the book of Romans that will teach you God, will teach you grace, it will teach you gift. As we're in the gift-giving season, always remember that you love God because he first loved you. You don't reverse those two. You're not trying to earn this glorious salvation. You can't earn it. You can just receive it. We talked about the gift-giving times of the year, whether we do birthday presents or Christmas, and people start throwing you cash for your gift. That would just be an offense, right? No, you want to give, and God's a giver, and he doesn't take his gifts back. But he wants us to develop. In 25 words or less, you should try this sometime. We should all try this. In 25 words or less, let me tell you what the book of Romans has taught me. God is wholly awesome. My sin brings eternal separation. Jesus, his son, was punished for me. Receive Jesus' gift of rescue and live. Learn and love Jesus. We win. In a nutshell, book of Romans, really, it's a doctrinal book, but ultimately it shows you that you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. You should start to read this. Let's look at Romans chapter 5 for just a few minutes this morning. These scriptures will be up on the screen. Therefore, The Apostle Paul says, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Sometimes I like to read that and say, any questions? See, this is what it means to go on the Word of God. If there's ever a time on planet Earth that people need to go with the Word of God, it's right now. Because there's so much confusion. There's confusion in the church. There's confusion just in the world system. There's chaos. And you can go. I'm going with the one who raises the dead. I'm going with the one who raises the dead. And I'm going with the one who said he would do it, and he did it just as he said. That's the way you want to think. Because in him, you win. No matter what this life delivers you, even if you find yourself with a burnt-down house and in poverty, Jesus Christ still tells you, you win. And so somehow, yes, and again, that's why our church likes to help people the best that we can. We want to see people encouraged and grow, and I'm all about that. But when this life sometimes just bums us out and we don't like it and things just did not turn out as we expected, Jesus is faithful. And you can get the record of that, and because you want to be a person of full of faith. You want to be a faithful person? Be full of faith. That's what happens. You can simply develop your faith, be full of faith. Full, meaning it's intelligent faith. It's expressed where it should be expressed. It's not some random, I just kind of hope this works out, right? You know, that was not my attempt to dance, sorry. But you know, this is not just hype. This is bedrock truth that belongs to the believer. This is the promise of promises. And especially this time of the year, we're going back and we're seeing this wonderful nativity scene. By the way, it was a really stinky, filthy stable that Jesus came to be born in. That's the place that he would actually breathe his first breath, in a stinky stable. And how many people like get near a farm and it's like, man, it reeks here. Well, Jesus understands a reeky world and he loves them. And I think you need to see how tender Christ is. But next time he's coming on a white horse. And we want to remember that too. Meek and mild Jesus, we saw him. We saw everything he did. We saw the humble side of Jesus, the side on earth side. But when he comes, he's coming in full glory. And he's going to judge the nations. And he's the one person that has the right to judge everyone. And that is awesome. Are you in him today? Do you know him? Have you placed faith in Jesus? It can be done today. It's a simple prayer. Jesus, I believe you did this for me. Your visit to earth was for me. It's not just for my mom. It's not just for my dad. It's right here. And see, that's why when children can learn this at a really young age and they grow up and they become fruitful and they become effective because they learn this love story early on in their life and they keep learning to walk with him and talk with him along life's narrow way, right? Let's fill in a couple of blanks here this morning. I just want to look and give you some understanding. Some people are like, that's like a big word here, Pastor Dave, justification or justified. The apostle says, by faith we are justified. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justification, a massively important word in the scripture. Merrill Unger points out it means a divine act. Please hear this. A divine act where an infinitely holy God judiciously declares a believing sinner to be righteous and acceptable before him because Christ has borne the sinner's sin on the cross and has become to us righteousness. Justification springs from the fountain of God's grace. If you are justified today because you've placed faith in Christ, fill in number one, you are covered. You are covered. You are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Once you've been cleansed, you only need to keep your feet clean, right? Keep your mind clean. Keep that sense of, I want to be where God wants me to be. But you don't need to be washed in the blood over and over again. You need to be washed in the Word of God, because we are forgetful people. I mean, how many times have I, in my own life, have I forgotten something I believed in the light? I said this last week. I love God. Yeah. And then something goes wrong in my life, and I'm suddenly like, where is God? I need to continue in my own life as a pastor to be washed by the Word so that my mind is clean. Washes away the impression of sin, because I keep seeing Jesus the way. And this is sweet fellowship that can happen for us. In verse 2, and I thought about this one, through whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Some of you, this is like kind of a maybe a little bit more basic one. If you've been to a conference, they give you a lanyard, right? Lanyards are so sophisticated today, like they buzz you in, right? It's like you sweep it across. It's like digitized. And by the way, I've been watching what's going on in Sweden, and they're starting massive digitization of people. So you're going to get a mark in Sweden if you don't want to carry currency. This would be your mark. And I believe this, some of this infrastructure is ripe for what the Antichrist is going to do. And what does it take to prove something? You need one example. Like, hey, we did it here. It's working. We worked out all the kinks. Be mindful of that. Because I do believe that we're seeing stuff unfold today that is like never before. And you can be wise. There's some amazing things happening in the world that is timing out perfectly with what God is going to do. But some people are not going to believe before he raptures the church, and they're going to be stuck here. Now, that many will come to faith in Christ, but it's going to be do or die time. Right now, it's like for, you know, you and I can get saved, and there's not a whole lot of persecution, but mark this, that time is coming. The scriptures, if you believe Jesus Christ came the first time, you also have to believe the rest of the story. And the rest of the story is fully developed in one sense, in the book of Revelation. And you can look at other prophetic scriptures that fit Old Testament, Daniel, Ezekiel, Isaiah, and you match them up with other truths that are already revealed. When John gets this amazing revelation that Jesus tells him to write down, and he wrote that revelation just as Christ gave it. And you have the record in the last 22 chapters of your Bible. But back to access for a second. When I used to work for Iron Sharpens Iron, I was a staff guy. So people knew it. So when I walked around and went into different rooms and I could talk to people, they knew I had access. Sometimes certain venues you go to, if you go to a trade show, it says all access, right? Some of you have sports channels that gives you all access. The rest of us don't get that access. But because you pay the money, you get all access. So we understand this thing of access, right? You get my point here. If I came into a conference, I show up at a conference, and I don't get a name tag, I'm not really considered to be valid. I didn't go through the check-in line. In our life, Jesus is he's the entrance, he's the door, he's the gate. He's the one that gives you access to the rest. The access right now that you need this side of heaven to continue to come to him. And that's what Paul's saying here. By faith, when you believed him, you gained access. Why does the scripture tell us then to boldly approach the throne of grace with confidence that we would find help in our time of need? Oh, so you're never at a point of need? You ever feel that way? Oh, I'm all needed up. It's all been satisfied. In one sense, it has in Christ, but you're needy. I am needy. Life causes us to be needy. That's why our church recognizes that it's important to pray. It's important for us to get together, to be together, to pray, because we're needy people who has a God who supplies. And Jesus says, I'm going to give you access. See, he would say, no one comes to the Father but through me. He's the dividing line. But he's a glorious, generous Savior who says, come. Come, just keep coming. keep coming to me. I'm going to give you things. I'm going to show you things. I'm going to help you understand. I have plans for you, my church. You're experiencing some of it here, as difficult as it can be sometimes. And we're trying as a church to know and to be in that groove of the Holy Spirit, exactly where God wants us to be as a church, to East Wareham, so that we don't miss opportunities. Do you realize that? Paul says, redeem the time because the days are evil. These never not been evil days. Sometimes we think, these are better days. You ever look back at a period of America? That was the good old days. That was the good old days. So are we saying there wasn't evil then? Right? Sometimes our nostalgia can mess with us. Oh, it's, you know, the old Amanda's like 1940s music. I'm like, how did she develop an interest in 1940s music? But anyway, so you hear some of these old classic songs and we think, those are the good old days, right? You've never thought that, have you? Right. You did? Okay, good. So here's this idea. Number two, as we have been covered, we've been justified by God because of faith in Jesus. Guess what he gives us now? He gives us clearance. Don't you like that idea that God gave you clearance to come to him? Are you taking advantage of that? Are you coming to him faithfully? Do you see this as a developing relationship? One that should never just grow dim and lonely? He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. You think your day's bad? Oh, go to him. See, this is the relationship stuff that we're talking about. I get spouse and kids, and I love my family. They are the best. And as you read my annual report, you'll see me thank them. I love them. And God, I believe, gave me my family. But Jesus never fails me. Never. And it can take a lifetime sometimes to learn that. He's faithful. Oh, when all else fails, just go to him. Even when you do too, right? Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace. It's not that you had to work up another realm of faith. When you believe the first time, that faith was enough to not only justify you, but to grant you divine access into the presence of a holy God who loved you. And look how he does this. He does this by his grace, into this grace. And we stand in this grace. Paul would remind the Ephesian elders in Acts, right? I commend you to God in the word of his grace that is able to build you up. Are you being built up in grace? We're going to do it a lot around here. That's our priority. We believe that this is the way that a church grows, becomes healthy, effective, and does things for God the way God intends. That's what happens. And in verse 3 to 5 here, Paul says, not only that, see, something's coming into the life of the believer. This is the yucky stuff sometimes it can feel like, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. I've gone through some seasons in my own life where I've learned that it can feel pretty lonely and pretty unsure. I thank God for how he's taught me through that stuff. And when I didn't, if I didn't learn that, I don't think I'd be standing here today to tell you that he's faithful. He's always faithful. Whether I adequately describe his faithfulness, God is always faithful. Look at the record. The cross is empty. Christ is off the cross. He's gloriously resurrected. Not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Boy, wow. Yeah. Is this like, I glory in tribulations? Okay. Do you realize what's possible here? Do you realize this is only possible through the Spirit's help? And you know that when, if you're writing things down here, when you received Christ, guess who came in? The Holy Spirit, right? Not only are we covered as we're justified, God covers us because of the blood of Jesus Christ once and for all. He's given us clearance. He's given us the privilege of entrance. He also gives us comfort. This is what every believer needs to be reminded of. So number three is comfort.
Not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. Not everybody going through difficulties, letting their character be formed. I think there are people in this church that's letting that happen to them even right this moment. I've seen it happen. I'm watching it happen. Sometimes I just want to brag on you. I actually do brag on a lot of you. I brag on you because I'm so thankful for what God is doing. Because I see it happening. Others, I want you to embrace what Christ has done for you. That you would take him at his word. You would believe him. You would not just be, you know, I hope he loves me. No. Just settle that one. He does love you, okay? Just settle that one. Because we can get into the unworthy. Sometimes we're just so religious, you know. We think like, you know, I'm just so perfect and whatever. Oh, I can't say that about me, though. What was I thinking? Where's your righteousness today? Is it in you or is it in Jesus? Are you continuing to remind yourself of that? Yes, I understand we want to get better. I understand that. Some Christians get saved and they think that all they have to do is like, now they have to just do everything right. Like, what makes you think that if you came to Christ and weren't doing things right, that coming to Christ is suddenly going to make it all just better? And that's a rough place to be sometimes. That's why you and I need to understand how the old nature still is playing in there. That old sin nature that was, in God's eyes, died with Jesus. Crucified, removed, circumcised, like we talked about. The real circumcision has been cut away. That's why you now have access. You can come freely. But Paul would say, don't make a provision for the flesh. In other words, you still could. And we all can do that. By no means am I trying to yell at anybody here. I'm just yelling at myself, okay? But see, this is where I believe when a believer gets this, that I'm justified by Christ. He gave me clearance. He gives me comfort. That this is a 24/7, never to end relationship with the living God who loved me and died for me. And I'm staying with him. I'm staying with him. So when the other stuff in my life just blows apart, and I have a few of those moments in my life, I can trust God, which, as I see his faithfulness, and sometimes that just comes in comfort. Sometimes it comes when somebody sends me a note and says, hey, I'm praying for you. Like, do you realize this stuff? Text messages sometimes could be used for wonderful purposes. Dennis and I were texting last night. I wanted to give the guy just a big fat kiss, but I didn't. love you, brother. But he's building me up. And this is just the way it should be. Because I think when you and I are going through the periods of our life that seem to be really draining and disappointing and unclear and vague, and I don't know what's next, and where's my life going, and I didn't expect to be here. It's a lot harder than I expected. You're a candidate for the Holy Spirit's comfort. But you need to know God and his word. Read the Psalms. We got a little book in the back there. It's not on the table, but if you want a copy, it's A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm. It will show you how a real-life shepherd actually studied the Psalm 23 and said, oh, wow, that's exactly what I did. Yeah, but it reveals how Jesus is the good shepherd. The Bible actually calls him the great shepherd. So you learn how Christ can shepherd you through difficulty. And as these things are allowed to develop in our life, see, Christianity is not hype. We like to think it's hype. We feel good when it's an emotional experience, but that thing can tank quickly. I mean, you know, talk to people who are super, super duper, whatever they were, happy, and, you know, then something goes wrong in their life and something blindsides them. It takes a developing faith that's going to survive that storm. But God has made every provision for that to happen. And I am not minimizing any person's guilt, suffering, pain, whatever your deal has been. As achy as this life can be sometimes, God will never fail you. And he's demonstrated that to you. And he will prove faithful to you. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. See, the Holy Spirit is a person. So he's bearing witness that you belong to him. And this love continues to flow. Jesus is a fountain. He is a giver. He is a supplier. He knows what you need. He knows what your heart needs more than anything right now, more than your spouse knows. Sometimes we go to people, it's like, you should be able to fix me. Can you just fix me? Can you tell me something? Well, Jesus has better words for you, but you've got to get to know what those words are. Just want to make a couple things, final comments here. Beating ourselves up does not glorify God. Who's getting the attention when that's happening? Satan? You? Scripture talks in Romans 8, is it God who condemns? Read Romans chapter 8. I'm telling you. You want to save your life? Read Romans. You want to really understand? There's some things in there that you might need some additional understanding. But God deals with the church. He deals with Israel. He deals with the Holy Spirit. He deals with how to overcome sin. There's so many things in there. But God doesn't condemn you. There is now for no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's the word of God. And there, see, when the Spirit of God is bearing witness in your life that you belong to him, that's why the scripture in Romans 8 would say, we cry out, Abba, Father. Daddy, that's an endearing term. That means Papa, Daddy. I love some of these, you know, other cultures where they use different names for a loved one. And one of those terms is Papa. Like, somehow we just, like, I don't call my dad Papa, okay? Just saying. But I can get it. It's endearing. It's tender. And Abba means Papa. And that's how you should see it. So I'm coming to my father who loves me. You remember the story of the prodigal son where the elder son is all ripping mad and the father says, everything I have is yours. But see, that has to be received. And that was a guy who's trying to justify himself. Look at my life, you know. Look at how I've served you. Just, that's not going to stand with God. You serve him because you love him. You give money to the Lord, you do it because you love him. If you give 10, 15, 20, 50, 100% of your income, you do it because you love God. And if you give 100%, the church is going to do great things. So, just teasing. God is faithful. You're going to see that some of those things come out next week. See, God loves us. We're hard-pressed, but we're not in despair. And this is how you can keep your mind fixed on God's provision for you. The provision is being dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, when I go, another will come in my place. There wasn't this... You know, just all of a sudden, it's like, okay, you're on your own. Believe in me and go live it. You can't succeed apart from the Spirit's power in your life. I can't either. The Spirit is your strength. He's your comforter. Some people think, like, the Holy Spirit just convicted the daylights out of me all day long, just convicting me, telling me I'm such a wretched... That's not the work of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes people just, you know, feel so guilty. They don't ever go on with Jesus because they're just trying to, you know, deal with all their guilt and condemnation. Go with the Word of God. Can God correct us? Absolutely. But I believe God's loving, his correction is loving, and then it's incrementally. It can work incrementally. So if we keep resisting God and we wind up, why is my life falling apart? Well, God's trying to show you that you can't do this without him. But those are still always loving corrections. This is one of the most difficult emotional thing for the believer. I really believe it's this territory. Is what is the Holy Spirit's real work in your life? Is just to keep yelling at you? Do you ever feel that way? I've heard sermons like this. Like, oh, just telling me what a failure I really am, and I'm just not, you know. Yeah. Go with the Scripture. Go intelligently with the Word of God. Your feelings of unworthiness are no match for the finished work of what Christ completed for you on the cross. He left heaven, showed his love in Jesus, revealed that love perfectly, and then died in the place of sinners. And it's enough to have faith in that, so that as you're growing in this grace, you're growing, you become aware of what is yours. You know I'm covered. I know I have clearance, and I know I have comfort. Do you know that today? I need to know this again today. If you guys all left, I'd preach this message to myself. That's the way it needs to be. I need this as much as you do. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for the kindness of your grace, the help that the Spirit provides us, the reminders that the Word of God gives to us, the hope that we have because of Jesus, that we don't want anything to diminish our clarity of thinking when it comes to Him. We want to deal with the sin problem completely in Christ. It has been dealt with. We want to understand that. And then we want to lay hold of this wonderful access that you've granted to us in Christ. Lord, I believe if a believer doesn't grow, it's their own fault. I believe they've for some reason stopped. They've halted their own progress, but that's not the way it should be. Father, if there are people in this room this morning that somehow they've put a halt in their own progress, I'd like to pray for them this morning. If that's you this morning, you seem somehow you've halted your own progress, I'd like to pray for you. No one's looking around you. I'd like to just pray. I'm not going to call out your name, but if somebody wants to slip up there and say, Pastor, please pray for me. I'm a candidate. Perhaps I've halted my own progress. Anybody here this morning? Anybody here this morning who says, I don't know 100% that I'm saved, and I'd like to know that right now. Anybody here wants to know that for sure? Just slip up here, I'd like to pray for you this morning. Father, I thank you for the lives in this room this morning. We thank you for all that you are doing. I thank you for the clarity of the Word of God. We thank you that Jesus is the author and the perfecter of our faith. We thank you for all that he is, all that he has done, all that he continues to do, this glorious salvation that belongs to us, that we would be fools not to bring the knowledge of what you've done for us even closer to our own hearts, especially this time of the year. Father, may we become the ambassadors of this grace like never before. May our hearts burn with just great passion because we want to know him better. Paul says, I want to know him. I want to know him. God, may we know you this morning. May we come just as these people who say, I come. I come. Thank you, Lord. Comfort those who feel like they've halted their own growth this morning. They've not continued. Father, bring them assurance that you've given them access because of Jesus. He completed the access for us. He finished what he could do. He finished perfectly, and we have to trust him now. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.